Welcome to Common Salvation, the sermons and other thoughts of Pastor Philip Papia, pastor in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. This sermon was preached on Christmas Day, 2023, at Trinity Lutheran Church in Colby, Kansas. The text that was chosen for the day is Isaiah chapter 52, verses 7 through 10. Let's listen in.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I've always wondered how it would feel to live in one of the vast empires of the past, especially if you happen to live very far from where the emperor was dwelling. You, of course, knew you were under his reign, at least when the taxes were collected, or perhaps from the soldiers who were under his charge who were nearby. But yet the emperor himself at times must have almost seemed like a mythical figure, especially in those days before images and video could be easily transmitted. I suppose you could have even wondered at times whether the emperor really existed at all. And certainly you knew he didn't know anything about you particularly. You were his very last concern. This Christmas morning, we hear Isaiah prophesy, and in his prophecy, he summarizes the good news of the gospel in a very simple way. Your God reigns. Yes, on Christmas Day, that is the proclamation that every part of the Christmas story proclaims. The child is born. The angels rejoice, the shepherds gather, all to proclaim your God reigns. And oh yes, as we know, this reign coming in Bethlehem came in a rather understated way. But for those of us who know God, it shouldn't surprise us much. His power is made perfect in weakness. And he's been using the most unlikely things and people to accomplish his purposes throughout all of human history. And yet, while this event is so simple, it is, of course, one of the key events that we must take to heart as Christians. For indeed, it is the event that brings new life to that phrase from the prophet Isaiah, that phrase he uttered years before, "Your God reigns." Now, of course, before Bethlehem, God did reign. It's just that he reigned from further away. And not just thousands of miles away, like Rome was from Bethlehem. No, God reigned from heaven above. So far above that you hardly could even imagine where his dwelling place truly was. Oh, the people of his promise, they knew that they lived under his reign. They knew that they owed him tribute and praise. He sent forth his priests and his prophets and his kings into places where they lived to assure them of his reign. And oh yes, occasionally he would do something much more direct where he would draw close, but not really all that often. In fact, we might say that for long periods of time, the people might have had some reason to be tempted, to think of God as a mythical figure. We know that some among Israel even acted at times as if he did not even exist. But there in Bethlehem, God's reign comes close. The king came close. The savior came close as the dirt of the earth, as close as the flesh that you and I are clothed in as well. As close as to be like us in every regard, and yet without sin. So yes, God has always reigned, but with his coming in Bethlehem, he reigns in a new way. And it is good this morning that you and I would recognize this fact. Because if we are honest, we too have times where God almost seems like a mythical figure to us. And of course, in our world, others will tell us that's exactly what he is. Perhaps there are even times where we wonder, when we think a prayer has not been answered, or we go through particular troubles that we wonder whether he really exists at all. And indeed, the world assures us that we could find true freedom if we would just deny his existence. No, his reign does not always appear to us to be holding a lot of sway. There seem to be so many people in our world who ignore and spurn the idea that God reigns on high, and yet it seems they do this without any consequence. We wish sometimes God would act and prove his existence. Everyone does what is right in their own eyes. They don't care about the king or his rules. And that seems odd to us that such lawlessness would be tolerated by one who has such authority. To be honest, there are days where we wonder whether God's reign can actually reign even in places like our own churches and our own homes. Sometimes we see such disorder there that God feels far off from us. But for us, even though we might feel that God's reign is far removed, today we are reminded of how he chose to bring his kingdom to bear. He did not just sit up in heaven barking commands, but instead he came down and he laid his only begotten son there in that manger. And of course, that was only the beginning of the story. But every part of that story that ends up earning us our salvation, it doesn't make any sense. Had not God came down, had not he drawn close, had not he taken upon himself our flesh, had not he came to dwell with his feet on the same soil that our feet trod on. This idea that God would come down to earth, well, people like the Jews and the Muslims are terrorized by this teaching, thinking it unthinkable of God. And indeed, the rest of the world just laughs at the thought that the king would humble himself in order to reign, that he would be less in order that he could give us more, that he would care enough about us to come down from heaven. But that which others mock, that which others ridiculed, it is our joy. The fact that God came close to you is indeed of every value to you. It shows you the value that God has of you, that he indeed would come down for you. It makes his reign much more real. And since now you have entrance into the king's court with your prayers, it makes it so much easier to pray when you know that you're praying to someone, you're praying to a king who breathed the same oxygen you breathe, who interacted with the same kind of people you interact with every day, who has suffered pain of body and anguish of soul just like you. Yes, this is good news for you. It's good news to have one who understands you and yet has all power as king. One who loves you enough to endure all things for you and your sin. For you see, in one way, it was just absolutely necessary that he might come down here where that battle in Eden was lost in order that he might now win the victory in the war for all of those who were born in the image of Adam and were born with his sin. It is good for you that God did not just view you as something far off, as something of no consequence, as something that he didn't really even know or care about, that could simply be yielded to the enemy. Yes, he came into your flesh that you might have victory. He placed you under his reign that you might be safe. He came in order that you might have one like you who could redeem you. You know, humanity since the very beginning has always been tempted to craft idols. You see, we're such people of matter that we always want something that our senses can touch or taste or feel. And indeed, of course, that tendency to idolatry is forbidden to us by virtue of the first commandment. But we might say in one way, that sinful itch we have towards idolatry on Christmas morning is given a holy answer. For indeed, he has come close. He has come close in a tangible way. A tangible way that our tangible selves can indeed understand much easier. Oh, there's a lot of mystery still at Christmas time, but there's also a little bit more familiarity for us. For we have a king of flesh and blood that comes for us. But let's be real for a moment this morning. We, of course, came here this morning to think about Jesus' entrance into the world at Bethlehem, and then his life after that. But we must also admit that that's not where we live right now. Indeed, maybe we think that we are in the same conundrum now as the people before the incarnation were. After all, Jesus, with all of his humanity, is no longer here. His feet are no longer being dirtied in our soil. It can seem as if the king came, but now he has gone far away again. And it's true that there is a bit of a deficit now, until that time when our Lord Jesus returns again in his glorious and resurrected body. But let us not forget that God knows us. He knows we need tangible things, and so he comes to us in tangible ways. Tangible ways only made possible by his first coming in Bethlehem. Yes, he still comes close to reign. We pray, thy kingdom come. And he answers, yes. We are praying that his kingdom would come among us, and God comes among us. He comes among us in the word read and the word proclaimed. He came among us when we heard that our sins were forgiven. And indeed, he will come to us again today in the Lord's Supper. For there, the same flesh that laid in the manger is now served for the life of the world. You see, this is my body. This is my blood. It would make no sense if Jesus had not come in Bethlehem, if he had not taken on body and blood for us. And so as we come to this place this morning, we are reminded that the King, the Emperor, our Savior, he is not far away. We are reminded of that because we remember that he came close and took on flesh in Bethlehem. And we are reminded also as the body and blood of Jesus are not only found close to us, but are placed inside of us to give us life. We're assured today the King, he does exist. And far from being a mythical figure, he is our heavenly Father. We are reminded that he knows you. He knows everything about you. He cares about you. And that is why he did all of this. Today, my feet have been blessed to run to you and bring you good news. And what is that good news? Your King reigns. He has come to you in Bethlehem, and now he draws close in his supper. Amen.